Several years ago in the 1980s, some psychologists got together and wanted to put together an experiment to see how powerful the influence of music was. And so they went and they grabbed themselves four high school boys. Two were from a kind of a higher socioeconomic class, and two were from, as many people might call it, the other side of the tracks, and kind of looked like this guy that you see over here on your screen with the big spikes, as we call them punk rockers back in the day. Well, they took one punk rocker, they put one preppy, and they put him in this room, and they put the other two in that room, and on the table were politically and religiously charged topics, and they said, we just want you guys to pick these up, read them, and talk to each other about your views and so forth. What they didn't tell the young man was that in this room, they were going to play heavy metal music, and in this room, they were going to play classical music like Mozart and so forth. Within less than 5 minutes, they had to run to this room and save the poor preppy guy who was getting beat up by the punk rocker guy who that music had empowered him. That was his kind of music. In this room, the classical room, both young men were up against the walls with their arms crossed, you know, cleaning their glasses, rubbing their chin, and having a very civil and intellectual discussion about the topics that were on the table. So I ask you, does music have an influence over us? I believe that music has a tremendous influence on us. It can do all manner of things to our emotions. I sometimes think about police officers every day. That's got to be a really stressful job. We might have some police officers in this congregation here. But you put some fun music in there, and it can give a sense of levity to the day, a sense of happiness, and it can kind of take you away from maybe the difficult task you find yourselves having to go to this house to a disturbance. Who knows what's in store that day? I think about when we go to baseball or football games. I'm sure some of you have been behind some real revel rousers, people drunk acting like fools, but then the minute they start playing the Star Spangled Banner, those guys straighten up, they put their hand on their chest, and all of a sudden they're all reverent and serious and sober. Music has a powerful effect on folks. You guys ever watched any outtakes of Star Wars without the music? It's like a corny soap opera. No offense to those of you that like soap operas. But it, boy, you put the music with it and it just elevates it to a point that, you know, people just love. You ever ask yourself why Olympians always are listening to music before they go for the gold? Because it pumps them up, it inspires them. I sometimes wonder what, you know, boxers are listening to. Are they listening to the Rocky theme? Maybe Rocky II, are they listening to Eye of the Tiger? I'm going to date myself here, but how many of you remember the movie Chariots of Fire? They got that super cool song as these guys are running through the water. Do, 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 ch, 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 ch. You know, and it makes you want to get out and run. Almost, almost. I'd rather watch them do it. But nonetheless, it has every bit to do that makes the movie so very, very special. I think of all of life's major events. You know, we hear music at our graduation, high school and college. We hear music at weddings. We got to have just the right song or songs for our weddings. People like to play music at their place of business, make people feel happy, like they want to spend money, you know? People like to have just the perfect music played when they're trying to put their babies to sleep at night. And some people are like, that hymn has to be sung at my funeral. So music plays a huge role in our lives. We see music's obvious ability to influence us, to inspire us, to motivate us, to stimulate deep emotions within us. But is there something more to music than that? On a scientific level, we are just now, within the past 20 or 30 years, really starting to understand the benefits of music medicinally, if you will. Scientists have done all manner of experiments on humankind to see what kind of benefits there are in music to people with all different forms of ailments. And this area of study is called music therapy. When I was getting my master's degree in music, there were like one or two people that were majoring in music therapy, and it was hard to find a job in that category early on, but now it's become a staple in a lot of hospitals and outreach groups, helping people find, you know, relief from pain and so forth. Let me share with you some of the things they have proven that music does in the medical industry. They have proven that it can lessen pain in cancer patients. It lowers your blood pressure. Now, some music, I think, can raise your blood pressure, but a lot of it can lower blood pressure. It can decrease your heart rate.
It can decrease breathing rate. It can relieve depression. It can calm and relieve anxiety. And it can help you go to sleep. It can fight against insomnia. It improves mood, as many of us know already. And it can actually improve physical movement in stroke victims. It helps folks with Alzheimer's. It helps children with developmental disabilities. There's a really cool show from 2011. I don't know if you ever saw this movie. It was called The Music Never Stopped. And it's based on some true case studies of a world-renowned psychiatrist and neurologist that started using music to help people with memory loss, brain trauma, try and reconnect back to their past. And that's exactly what this movie's about. This young man who's estranged from his parents, like a lot of teens often get sometimes, he kind of ran off, did his own thing for several years. Parents hadn't heard from him in 20 years. They get a call from a local hospital. They say, "We have your son here. He's had a tumor and we had to remove it. He's fine, but it's destroyed a lot of his memory. He doesn't really know hardly who he is or what's going on." And so his mom and dad come in on the scene and they do everything trying to help restore his memory. And they finally settle on music therapy to see if it's kind of like their last chance. He loved the Grateful Dead when he was a young man. And so this music therapist started playing that and other artists from that time period. And it's like a light bulb went off in his head. He started being able to reconnect with old memories. It was just the music literally kind of built new neural pathways back to his past. And his father and him, who had butted heads a lot growing up, basically used that as a tool to grow close, to help him heal, and to help their relationship to heal. So beautiful and powerful story about how music can restore one's health. It has all manner of benefits. Classical music's been known to improve IQ levels, brain circulation, also known as the Mozart effect. How many of you had your kids watch the Baby Einstein shows? Did you ever do that? The DVDs that would have like art and poetry and classical music in the background, and then they'd have children doing like engineering tasks, building things, painting things. Beautifully constructed videos that kids just love. I really enjoyed watching them with my son, Max. Well, that woman that designed that was brilliant. She spent, I think, around $18,000, her and her husband, designing those DVDs and getting them marketed at first. And within a few years, they were selling it to Disney for millions of dollars because people understand the value of art and of music being a huge part of that in the psychological development of young people. A lot of people don't know this, and it's really sad because we're seeing it in society across America, how so many schools are taking away music and the arts in general. But they did a bunch of tests on high school students, kids that took an ensemble like band or orchestra or choir, and they kind of took them from a spot of their time throughout high school compared to kids that just were like in theater, so just straight theater like plays and things. And then they took a group of kids that were strictly all core classes. That's all they took, like math, science, history, but none of the arts. Guess who scored the highest again and again in grades? The kids in the music classes. Again and again. The theater kids did better than the kids that just took the core curriculum, but the music kids scored the highest. And that kind of fascinates me, because you know in the Bible, it tells us to sing unto one another in Ephesians 5 and 19. I don't think it's just saying that to say it. It's telling you there is benefit to people making music together. Not just a soloist up here singing, not just a praise team as we sometimes see among, you know, Christian churches and things up here where the people out there rarely get a chance to sing at all. No. God wants us all singing together. There's tremendous benefit physically, mentally, and spiritually when we all sing and when we all combine our hearts and voices together. I know I haven't talked a whole lot about the Bible just yet, but that's what we're about to dive into. We've talked about music's influence on us, how it touches our emotions deeply, how it inspires us to do things. We've just spent a few minutes talking about its health benefits, but are there spiritual benefits to the power of music? Brethren, I would argue that sacred music is actually a spiritual weapon of warfare against temptation, against evil of all kinds. And I think one of the most fascinating scriptures in the Bible is the one that pertains to David and Saul and David's ability to calm or to ward off that evil spirit that was vexing him. If you have your Bibles handy, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and begin reading with me in verse 14. 1 Samuel 16, beginning in verse 14, it reads, "But the spirit of the Lord departed from King Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. And Saul's servants said to him, 'Surely an evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the evil spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well.' And so Saul said to his servants, 'Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me.' And then one of the servants answered and said, 'Look, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is a skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And the Lord is with him.' Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, 'Send me your son David who is with the sheep.'" Now look down at verse 23. This is the interesting passage. "And so it was, whenever the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the evil spirit would depart from him." Isn't that amazing? I find that so powerful that music had the ability to ward off that evil, vexing spirit. So we see here what the power of music does, how it wards off this troubling situation that Saul is under. And I have a question for you, brethren. My question is this: are there any New Testament passages that teach anything to the contrary of what we see going on back here in the time of David? Is music any less powerful now than it was then? Did Jesus not say that he came to fulfill the law and the commandments? I don't believe there's any difference. I believe that sometimes we just don't tap into its power like David did. But I believe it has as much power now as it did back then. There's nothing in God's word to tell us otherwise. Let's take a look at a couple New Testament examples of music warding off evil. And then I want us to take a look at one modern example of music warding off evil in a gentleman's life of the 19th century. I want you to consider the context of Matthew 26 and 30 through 37. Now, many of you know this is coming down towards the end of Jesus' life. Jesus chooses to do two things prior to going into that garden and ultimately being taken by night to an illegal trial, wherein later on then he is taken and scourged and crucified to death. He chose to do two things before he faced that horrible, horrible trial. He chose to sing and he chose to pray. And what's fascinating to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know of another passage in the Bible that talks about Jesus singing other than right here. It's very simple. It's easy to overlook. It's very quick. But it says in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered, and he said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.' Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.' And so said all the disciples. And then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go over there to pray.'" And you know what he did? He went over there to pray. He prayed once. He prayed twice. He prayed three times, "Lord, let this cup of death and anguish pass me by." But God's voice fell silent, for he knew that the only way to save mankind was with his blood. And therefore, he followed through with that horrible crucifixion. But he chose to sing, and he chose to pray before dealing with the most difficult of circumstances. People, music can give you courage. It can pump you up. It can put you in a better position spiritually. than you are without it, as I believe Jesus used it to give him courage to face his greatest trial. Look at the example of Paul and Silas while in prison. As was very common for these guys, they're out there preaching the gospel, and, you know, a lot of the Jews didn't like it. Of course, they gather them up, throw them in prison. In this case, it was serious. They threw them into the deepest part of the prison and shackled them down. They did not want these guys getting away. Listen to this powerful story where music is at the heart. In Acts 16, beginning in verse 21, it reads, "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing." That makes no sense. They're put in the inner part of the prison. That's very likely set aside for the most hardened criminals, the people to whom they're very likely going to take their lives. Are they moping? Are they saying, "Oh, woe is me"? No, they're praying and singing praises to God. Now listen what happens as a result. "And so as they're praying and singing hymns to God and the prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew out his sword and was about to kill himself." Now many of you know why. Because under Roman law, if a guard let a prisoner get away, his life was taken because of it. And so he was just going to take his own life. He was certain that they were going to run. But in verse 28, Paul says, "Paul called out with a loud voice saying, 'Do yourselves no harm,'" or "do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light," that is the guardsman. "He ran in and he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" People, why did he go to them? Why did he go to Paul and Silas? How did he know it was them? Could have been something he heard on the streets. Maybe he was witness to a miracle that they'd done. I don't know. But I'll bet you it had something to do with the singing. These men are praying and singing. The other men are sorrowful and troubled that they're in prison. But these guys are singing praises to God. And it causes forth, it brings forth this tremendous earthquake, this miraculous moment. And it drew that guardsman to Paul and Silas, and he fell down on his hands and knees, knowing that those were the men that had the ability through God to bring about his salvation. That's powerful. Music was at the heart of that special moment. Now here's a more modern day example where sacred music warded off evil in that of the 19th century. So not too far back, but a very interesting story. This is the story of an evangelist by the name of E.P. Scott. And maybe you've heard this story before, but I remember when I came across it for the first time, boy, did it touch me. It's just powerful how music can ward off evil and can move people towards that which is good and holy and beautiful. Mr. Scott traveled to India with hopes of spreading the gospel in this kind of unknown region to God's word. And he wrote of trying to reach a savage tribe in the Indian subcontinent. Ignoring the pleadings of several of his friends, he set off into what was known to be a very dangerous territory. Several days into his journey, he was met by a large party of warriors who surrounded him with their spears pointed at his heart. Expecting to die at any moment, Scott breathed in a prayer. It says, he closed his eyes and he began to sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." When he reached the words, "Let every kindred, every tribe," he slowly opened his eyes. And there stood the warriors, some in tears, every spear lowered. And Scott spent the next 2 years of his life evangelizing that tribe. Isn't that powerful, people? That's at the power of music. These warriors, it wasn't even their native tongue of which he was singing, and yet just his heart, his emotion through the power of song still spoke a language to them that moved them to tears. That's powerful, people. That's powerful. We've talked about how influential music is in our lives from birth to death. We've talked about the many health benefits of listening to and participating in music making. And we've now seen Old Testament, New Testament, and perhaps a more contemporary example of music warding off evil in people's lives. Now, I know you might be saying, that's really interesting stuff there, preacher, but how do we apply the power of music to ward off evil, to ward off temptation in our lives? Well, I'll tell you how. It's really quite easy. And I'd imagine some of you have already tapped into its power before. All of us have different tastes. Some of us like classical music. Some of us like more contemporary. Some of us like more traditional. We all have a different flavor of like that really touches us most deeply. And so I challenge you to take time to discover the type of music that moves you, especially that of a sacred nature. And then when you're at church, I want you to be bold, and I want you to walk up to that song leader and say, hey, next Sunday, you know, could you lead this song? I love this song. It really touches me. You know, be an avid part of the preparation of the worship, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to request hymns that touch you. In your car, I want you to have your favorite sacred songs handy. Whether it's an older vehicle and you have to use a CD player or maybe a tape deck. Definitely not 8-track, right? But in more modern cars, and of course, you know, many times you are just using your phone, plugging it in and so forth. But keep your favorite sacred songs handy and play them often. Play them in your home. Maybe you like praise and harmony CDs. Maybe you like Sing to the Lord CDs or Symphonia or Narrow Way or One Voice or FC Chorus CDs. Whatever it is that floats your boat, that moves you, that touches you, you keep those close by so that they're on your playlist. And when you're troubled and feeling down, you pop in an upbeat piece that lifts your spirit. When you find yourself being tempted to do evil and get worldly, you put in something that's reverent, that moves you to tears, that brings you back to that sensation of godly sorrow. That's the beauty of music. It can move us in any given direction wherein we need its help to do so. I bet you there's a lot of you that kind of have a steady regimen of reading a passage in the morning, maybe before you go to work, and saying a prayer. Now I want you to add something else to that. I want you to add sacred music to that. So say your prayers, read your scriptures, have your devotional time, but then you get in your car and you play your sacred music. It's a 1-2-3 punch that will put you on track to a more pure day, to a stronger day fighting Satan's fiery darts being thrown at you. It's powerful stuff, people. We need to harness its power just like David did with Saul. I believe it's every bit as powerful now as it was then. Now, I know that some folks they're not maybe the strongest musicians. They've never seen music as something that really touches them as deeply. Maybe they're a little bit more analytically minded. They like the good lesson, things of that nature. But I just want to tell you how special music is in worship. Did you know that of all the five acts of worship, there is only one that continues in heaven? And that is singing. That is singing. There's no more a reason to partake of the Lord's Supper. There's no longer a reason to preach the gospel. There's no longer a reason to give. There's no longer a reason to hear the gospel message because you're there with the saved already. But they continue to sing in heaven. It is the chain that binds us from the physical to the spiritual. And I think people know that deep down when they sing. Every now and then it really strikes a chord within that feels eternal. Music is powerful, people. And so I encourage you, if you've not yet embraced its power, do so. It's great to sing here. Please do so as much as you can, but you take it with you with technology and let it move you, let it inspire you, let it help you grow closer to the Lord. I'd like us to sing part of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name as we close this morning. And after this song, we'll go to our Heavenly Father in prayer and then be dismissed to our classes. But we're going to sing the first and third verse. You can see it up here on the sides, or you're welcome to take out a hymnal and turn to 434 if you can see that better. And again, we'll sing verses 1 and 3 of All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name together. Would you like to stand for this and remain standing for the prayer and then be dismissed to our classes? This wonderful flock that meets here. As a Christian, Lord, it is such a joy to know that there are others who love you, who are devoted to you, who want to be here, who want to worship you, who want to grow closer to you and learn how better to serve you. Your ways, dear Lord, are higher than ours. And for those of us that have been Christians for a time, as we have seen how you've molded our lives to be so much better than how they once were, we are won over to you. We thank you for your word. We often take it for granted that we've got it on our phones and in our hard copy Bibles and everywhere we go. But we pray, dear Lord, that we not take it for granted, that we take advantage of it, that we study it daily, that we live it, that we practice it, that we share it with our children, that they too can be the future of your body here on earth. Lord, we pray for those of this number that might be struggling with their health right now, as is often the case in every church. We pray, dear Father, that those who are struggling, you would help this congregation to aid and encourage them. We pray you'd restore them to their wanted place of health. Father, we pray for the classes that are about to meet, that you be with each of the teachers. Inspire them in such a way as to have a gift and an ability to reach each age group with your word in a way that the kids can understand it. Take it into their lives and live it and practice it and share it with the others that they meet at school and so forth. Thank you, dear God, for your family. Thank you for your church. We are so grateful to be a part of it, Lord. Help us to always be devoted members, always willing to use our gifts and abilities for your purpose and your cause, for there's no higher calling on earth than to serve you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your precious Son that saved us, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.